much control can agencies exert over employees' behavior when they're on work trips? And in social work situations, what are the hard and fast rules that employees should follow? Two recent incidents make us ask. First, the Secret Service recently called three agents from an overseas trip after they were caught drunk. And on the other hand, the Veterans Affairs Department has rehired an employee who admitted to drinking and driving on a business trip. A passenger fell out of his van and she later died. In this week's Legal Loop, federal employment attorney Deborah Roth takes on these thorny issues. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, Emily. Good morning.
So this might seem like a cut and dried situation. Don't drink when you're on the clock. But is it more gray than that?
Well, you know, both incidents that you mentioned, as I understand the facts, the consumption of alcohol occurred while they were TDY, they were on travel, but they were off duty, so their duty day had ended. And so while federal employees are TDY and they're on the clock, the same rules apply to them while they're TDY on the clock as if they were not TDY at their duty station working. And, you know, Emily, the same rules apply when they're TDY and they're off duty, because a federal employee, even if they're not TDY, you know, they're off duty on the weekend, how they behave, that, you know, it can affect, can be connected back to the government's mission. And if something happens off duty that the employee is involved in or responsible for, the government finds out, and the government thinks there's some sort of connection back to their mission, well, the government absolutely can take action against the employee. And that's certainly been the rule for decades. And that legal term of art, Emily, is called nexus. Is there a nexus between what the employee does off duty and the agency's mission? And one of the things that will absolutely get you nexus, which is what happened in both of these cases, is notoriety. If your conduct becomes notorious, becomes public, and has the effect of embarrassing the government, well, then there's notoriety. The government can take action. That's certainly been the case in the Secret Service matter, and I'm sure the Secret Service was concerned also about the ability of the agents, you know, when they return to duty the next morning, you know, to perform their services. So nexus has always been a concept that applies, and notoriety has been one of the ways that the government finds nexus.
And, Debbie, it seems like the in the case of the Secret Service, there was a little bit of both, notoriety and nexus, because these particular Secret Service agents are like the ninjas for the last line of defense against the president. So they have to not just be sober, but really alert and in top form.
Sure.
So they are now prohibited from drinking 12 hours before their shift instead of 10 hours. But I wonder if that really solves the issue.
You know, certainly I would imagine that the people running the Secret Service are hoping that, and I would suspect that the president and his family are hoping. You know, it's very surprising that after a few years ago what happened in Colombia, I believe, on a trip, you know, pre-presidential, before the president arrived, that this would happen again. It's just, you know, it's very surprising. It's very disappointing. I'm sure everyone's hoping it doesn't happen again. But notoriety alone of what you do off duty, even if it won't affect the performance of your duties, can be the basis for the government to take action. Now, so for federal employees, mostly what they do off duty doesn't make the news, right? But if you do something that the public is interested in. So, for example, the Secret Service agents drinking and engaging in potentially illegal behavior. In Colombia, it was they were engaged in prostitution. Illegal behavior can always form the basis, whether it's on or off duty, can always form the basis for the government taking action against you. And that sort of brings you back to the drinking and driving incident with the VA employee, Emily, that you had pointed out earlier.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that. First, let me say that we're speaking with Deborah Roth, and she is a partner at Shaw, Bransford & Roth and a federal employment attorney. So in this situation, a Veterans Affairs employee who had admittedly a night of drinking but was not legally drunk when he was driving this van, his passenger under some situation happened to fall out and tragically she died. Mm-hmm. Seems like VA has gotten a lot of flack for rehiring this employee who was driving, although he was not at the past the limit of the blood alcohol limit. And I just wonder why.
Yeah. You know, I'm not sure that the evidence, I read the IG report that was associated with the news report. There's a link on the GovExec news report of the rehiring of this VA employee. And if you link, it links to the redacted VA IG report. And when I read the report, I can't say that I was that convinced that this individual was not over the legal limit. By the time they tested him, which was hours after he'd stopped drinking, and I believe it was hours after he had been driving the vehicle, he tested below the legal limit.
But let me ask you this, because you're an attorney, and every good criminal defense attorney will tell people, don't take that test if you're pulled over by the cops, right? Wait as long as you can. You've got some rights. So
well, I think he was waiting because it first involved the transportation of his colleague to a hospital. And so by the time her medical care was taken care of, it was hours after they had been driving the vehicle. So even though the state, you know, he was in Texas, the state did not try him with drunk driving. The feds, Emily, I want to make this point, his federal employer could have, because it's not a criminal charge. And so they could have just said, you were driving, which they probably did, you were driving a GSA, government-owned vehicle, after you'd been drinking. Whether he was legally drunk or not is irrelevant. And that's an offense. That's an offense of misconduct. The presumptive penalty willful misuse of a government-owned vehicle, the presumptive penalty is 30 days suspension. Now, it can get you removal, but the presumptive penalty is 30 days, which in all likelihood, no doubt, he did in fact get that suspension on his record. And as I read the news report and I believe the IG report, that there were three employees, one died, and the two others, one resigned, one was terminated. The one who resigned was rehired, which is where the controversy is. But I think the public, the American taxpayer, is going to find out a whole lot more about that, because as I understand the news report, the Oversight Committee in the House is about to dig in and really figure out what action did the VA take against him.
But if you are driving and there's a possibility that you were intoxicated, and therefore that's a violation, mm-hmm. but maybe it's questionable, wouldn't the ejection of a passenger from your vehicle and the subsequent horrible consequences of that give you the nexus and the notoriety that the agency needs to say goodbye, Charlie?
Yeah, and it's very surprising, Tom, that that he was rehired. Part of me wonders whether it was an oversight. You know, he's hired by a different facility in the VA. And so part of me wonders whether it was an oversight. Also, when you read the IG report, how they describe her exiting the vehicle is not how the GovExec report reports it. They report, GovExec, I think twice, says she fell out of the car. The IG report, the agents interviewed the two individuals who were driving in the car with her, albeit, you know, they had been drinking, and the degree to which they'd been drinking may have impaired their ability to observe. But one of them, I believe, heard her say right before the door opened and the vehicle was moving, I'm out of here, I'm out of here, I'm getting out of here, I'm out of here, something like that, several times. And then they heard the door open, you know, because it makes a noise while you're driving. And so the VA may have determined that the two men who were in the front seat of the car really didn't have control over her and weren't responsible for her conduct, except that their conduct that was at issue was driving the GOV while intoxicated. Well, they didn't, and I want to come back to that, Emily. They didn't have to be legally intoxicated. It is against U.S. government rules to drive a GOV if you've consumed alcohol, any amount.
Good point.
Any amount.
And good lesson. It's certainly a tragic situation.
Terrible.
Deborah, thanks for joining us. Appreciate
okay.
it. Good
yeah.
advice.